they don't get too close to the fire. I might get burned a little, but I don't mind. I need your love. Baby, I need you.
What's up, y'all? This is Britt Jones with Throwback Country Music. I am so excited. I'm at Granddaddy Mims in Blairsville, Georgia, with singer-songwriter, recording artist, Tommy Townsend. Tommy, thank you for joining the show today.
Man, thank you for having me.
Yes, we're excited. I've been looking forward to talking to you. I know you've got some really cool stories.
Yeah.
And I'll explain to everybody, if you hear noise in the background, there are people here at Granddaddy Mims. Granddaddy Mims Distillery, moonshine at its finest. But before we get into the distillery and what you and your involvement here, I want to talk about your music career, and just, you know, so we'll start from the beginning. What got you into music in the first place?
My dad played music. He actually played here in Blairsville, a local square dance band with my cousins, and it was an annual festival that goes on here every year called the Sorghum Festival.
Uh-huh.
My dad used to play the square dances with my cousins, and then I got old enough, and I can never remember not loving music. I guess the first time I heard it when I was 4 or 5 years old, I love music, and I started playing drums actually when I was 5 with my dad and my cousins at the Sorghum Festival.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was, I remember I was too short to reach the pedals on the kick drum and hi-hat, so they would just set me on a stool and set me a snare drum, and I would keep the beat, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
And started drums was my first instrument, and then when I got older, you know, my parents bought me a set of drums, and I've had my own little band and stuff, but I've always just loved music. I've loved beats. You know, I still to this day, I'll go down the road, pat the steering wheel or whatever, you know, and then I guess I was about 11, 12, 13 years old when I got into sort of singing.
Mm.
And how that come about was I was playing drums, and me and a couple other friends of mine here was going to back this girl at a talent show. So we practiced with this girl 4 or 5 times. It come time to do the talent show. Somehow she backed out. I don't know why. I can't just like I'm saying, I'm a young kid, you know, in middle school or whatever. So it's like for some reason I was like, well, I'll sing a song. But I was singing and playing drums, and then about that time, I said my mom and dad were, you know, big music fans, so I remember we had went to see Waylon Jennings in Gainesville at a place called the Georgia Mountain Center.
Oh yeah, I used to go there all the time.
And I think it's part of maybe Brunel College.
It is.
Or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember seeing that show and just the energy of Waylon's music, you know, and everything.
And how old were you about this time?
Around 12 years old.
Okay, yeah.
And the energy of his music. And then Mom and Dad bought me a bunch of his records. And then I got into Hank Jr. and kind of the outlaw.
Oh, yeah.
I always loved that.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy of it. And then, you know, in high school, I had my own bands. And met Waylon when I was about 13 or 14 years old at Lanierland in Cumming, Georgia.
Oh, I used to go there all the time. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. And Hell's Angels did security.
Did they?
At that time. And my dad was talking to one of them. He goes, well, bring Tommy down here after the shows. He loves kids. And I'll take him back there and meet him. And I stayed back there, I don't know, probably 30, 40, 45 minutes. I mean, my mom and dad was getting worried because at that time, I don't think Waylon had the best reputation in country music or whatever. But I remember him being so nice to me and you know, sitting on the bus and talking with him. And so every time, I don't know, when they would come around the area, Chattanooga, you know, Lanierland, Atlanta or something,
mm-hmm.
we would go see them and gotten to know the band and the crew and all that. And so I was, this was probably 17 years old.
Yeah.
I'd given them a tape or whatever. And so when I was a senior in high school, Jerry Bridges, which was the band leader at that time, mm-hmm. and bass guitar player, and was producing Waylon's records at that time, took me in the studio.
Okay.
Nashville to record some stuff. And and while he was doing that, Waylon was hanging around the studio, you know, and he'd be on in the lobby on his poker machine. He'd give some orders and you know, just because
oh,
he was
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And then later on, Waylon and Jerry got involved, and they co-produced the record on me, and up until the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And I had, and my family had moved to Nashville mm-hmm. in 95. And did that, and then not long after that, Waylon, you know, started getting, not feeling well, and mm-hmm. then he passed away in 2002. So that record just laid around.
Mm.
You know, Waylon's playing and singing on it, and all this, and so, I guess it was 2021, my manager and good friend, Greg Campbell, not the singer, but Greg mm-hmm. Campbell in the
yep.
music business, was talking to Chuck Rhodes, and Audium Records was signing some new artists. And so he had got me a meeting with him, and I thought, okay, well, I'll go down there, you know, and there'll be 8 or 10 people in there, and they'll say, oh, it's good and everything, and then they'll give you 20 reasons why they can't sign you now.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, but when we got to the meeting, it was me and Chuck Rhodes and Craig. And so they wanted to sign me. I mean, like on the spot, you know, right there. And
they were serious.
Yeah, they were serious. Yeah. And you know, we decided, well, we'd work everything out. And it was in another meeting a few weeks later. It was talking about songs, you know, writing songs, mm-hmm. playing, you know, picking out some stuff to go in and cut. And Craig had told Chuck, he said, well, Tommy has an album that Waylon Jennings produced, and his bass player Jerry Bridges. And so Chuck's like, you got what? Yeah, I said, I got this record that was released. And he said, can I hear it? And I'm like, yeah. So I had to dig it out of the basement.
That's so cool.
And so I took it down there to him, and he called us back in a few days. He goes, can we release it? And
man.
I said, well, I'm sure you can. And I said, it was kind of released on a little small label at one time, but it more or less, you know, where I just sold some of the CDs around Nashville or something.
But yes.
Anyway, so I said, yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a great record.
Is that the record that you had it here, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. I got some of there. I'll bring one down here in a minute.
Yeah, I'd like to show people.
But anyway, so I called Jesse and make sure it's okay with her and the estate and everything.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'll let shoot her know. Jesse's like, yeah, just go ahead and release that record. So we did. It came out in, the single Southern Man came out in 2022.
Okay.
I guess, and the album come out later spring 2022, and it's done really well,
yeah.
You know, on the streaming sites. Then Record Store Day last year, they put it out on vinyl.
And
it sold out that same day.
Oh, that's crazy.
On vinyl, you know, because that's making a big comeback.
Oh, yeah. But, I love that, too.
But other than, that record, you know, I'm very proud of, and I had to go back in and do some stuff, you know, it, but I'm very proud of it. And, you know, a Shooter produced a record on me in 2018 out in L.A.
That, okay.
That's out. I'll turn back the clock. And that one I had written some songs on. And
now, I didn't know. I knew about the one you were going to show.
Yeah.
But the Shooter, so Shooter produced one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Shooter produced one. But
he's a great producer.
Yeah, he's great. And we actually started that record probably 2015 because we were, you know, we toured with Shooter for several years.
Yeah.
With the Waylon Band, because the Waylon Band had gotten back together,
right?
And I was the lead singer, and so we had toured with Shooter for several years, and so just, you know, at night talking and stuff, you know, it was like Shooter said he'd like to produce a record on me. So
that's awesome.
I was, I guess, when Shooter got into the production thing, mm-hmm. I guess I was sort of one of the first ones.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
And so
we put and he got a Grammy for Tainted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so we're talking about maybe him doing another one at some point.
Oh, that's cool, too. Man. So, that's cool.
Yeah. He knows his way around the studio, and he is great. You know, and
right.
The cool thing about when we cut the record, Shooter always loved my my electric rhythm. That I played on a Telecaster. So when we went in the studio to do it, we had some songs picked out, and so he's like, "Let's lay this down, just your guitar and bass and drums," and that's all we did, just those three instruments.
Oh, man.
It was real raw, you know. And so I remember when I was a kid, and remember the song too. I love the song that Gordon Lightfoot did, "Sundown."
Oh yeah,
and we even. Got a country version of that.
So that record. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, it's a little bit different than Gordon Lightfoot. It's got steel guitar and fiddle on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, music business has been good. And I've, you know, written with publishing companies. And some cuts here and there. So,
yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
It's just been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah. awesome, man. And so the, are both albums on available online right now?
Okay. Yeah, they're on on streaming, or you can go to Amazon and buy the CD or the vinyl.
Yeah,
yeah,
that would be bad.
Yeah, I know the Shooter, the record Shooter did. We did that on white vinyl.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
man. Oh, that's cool.
But yeah.
So his the band. That you had traveled with for a while, you were playing with Waylon's original band.
Yeah, yeah, right there behind you.
Yeah.
Those guys right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I love that photo.
Yeah, that was one of the original General Lees. And, of course, Richie Albright passed away 2-3 years ago,
yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jeff Hale is playing drums with us. Jeff was there. Richie was the first drummer, then Jeff came along and stayed there for several years, and then Richie came back at the very end. And Jeff, he's back playing with us now. And we don't tour like, you know, 70, 80, 80 year. You know, we do one every once in a while. So,
yeah.
That type thing. So,
but you do stay busy. I mean, y'all.
Yeah.
Didn't you do the Outlaw Cruise?
Yeah, we've done that several times.
Yeah.
We haven't done it in a couple years. We actually did it. Last time we did it was right before the pandemic.
Oh. As
a matter of fact, it was kind of started. We were out there and didn't know
what
the world that was.
That is crazy. What, is that a fun cruise?
Oh, yeah. Man, it's great. Great fans on the thing. And the fans love music. And it's people of all ages.
Yeah.
You know, from 20 to 75.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wide range of people that like music.
Right. You know. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, that's if you go on one of those cruises, that the fans are, you know, if they're going to go on a cruise, they're going to buy tickets to go on the amusement cruise. They're real fans. You know?
Yeah, it's like a rolling or like a floating country music festival. So, you know, luckily nobody fell overboard. I know of anyway, but it was a lot of fun. Then last year, not 2 years ago, I guess we did the. Country cruise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with
that's a big one.
That was a big one. Yeah, with T. Graham Brown,
mm-hmm.
T.G. Shepherd, and the Gatlins, and gosh, who else was on there?
John Barry.
John wasn't on that particular one. But what was so cool about that was a lot of those artists is the artists that I grew up listening to and idolizing.
Oh man.
You know, there was a ton of great talent. Jimmy Fortune from the South.
Oh, yeah.
He was on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know Chuck Mead?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He was on there, and I did his jam with him.
That's cool.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet.
And But T. Graham Brown, he's become a friend.
Oh, and, man. He's a
good dude.
And he still sounds incredible.
He sounds amazing. Yeah. So, matter of fact, the other night when he got to be a member of the opera, I texted him and told him congratulations.
Yeah. He's deserving of that, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think that I loved hearing his story. He had come on the show a few weeks ago, and he was talking about him and Keith Whitley were really good buddies.
Yeah.
And so, he's awesome, and he's got a new album coming out and a book.
Oh, he's got a book?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep, it's going to release later this year. I think he said it's called it's a play on his song "Tell It Like It Used to Be," but it's something like that. I can't remember exactly right now what the title is, but I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah, is the album coming out, the one he did in Muscle Shoals? The bluesy one, or
the blues, the soul from like the '60s.
Yeah,
yep,
yeah. So, but he's a good one. Yeah, we had fun on that cruise, so he's working on doing another one at some point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. What you got going on this year? I think there's a big show in Franklin, right?
Yeah. April the 5th, the Wailing Band, we call it Waymore's Outlaws now. It's kind of a combination of the Wailers and the Waymore's Blues Band, the big band that Waylon had before he passed away. It's a combination of those, so we call it Waymore's Outlaws. But we're playing at the Franklin Theater, Franklin, Tennessee.
Yep.
April 5th, and working on some more stuff. I got pretty much up through May, booked up some in June. Some of them are just acoustic shows.
Yep.
Some of them are for my own band that I'm doing.
Oh man, and
all that. So it's getting to be a pretty.
It's on the Southern Man album. It's out now.
Mm-hmm.
It's called "Less Than Loneliness." Bring you roses, I didn't kiss you goodnight, I didn't say hello, I didn't hold you tight, told me not to leave, if I did you'd be gone, I thought you'd still be. Never leave me alone. You gave me my first lesson in loneliness. You taught me how to cry. You gave me a lesson I won't forget, even if I try. I should have held you closer and tried my best. Been there when you needed me. Gave me a lesson I won't forget. Lesson loneliness. Lesson loneliness. Now I know how lonely it feels. I was a fool for leaving you. Restless nights and more than I could take. These tears are for real. I can feel the pain inside. I feel cold and alone. Now I know how long it feels. I just can't go on. You gave me my first lesson in loneliness. You taught me how to cry. Gave me a lesson I won't forget, even if I try. I should have held you closer and tried my best. Been there when you needed me. You gave me a lesson I won't forget. Lesson long. Thank you.
Oh, you know, yeah. We are on the stage right now at the venue, yeah. But tell us about how this came about. And
goodness, yeah, this came about actually several years ago, the idea. I was out in Texas with a friend of mine, and he started talking about old bootleggers is out there. He lived in California, but he was born in, you know, Texas and was there till he was, I don't know, 18 years old.
Yeah.
Talking about old bootleggers. I said, yeah, I said, my grandfather was a famous bootlegger back in North Georgia. And he said, really? And I said, yeah. And so anyway, Jack's a financial guru and been on, you know, these financial magazines,
yeah,
and stuff. And so just one thing led to another, and he was talking about my grandfather and everything, and I said, well, he said, well, can you get your hands on the recipe? I said, well, I don't know, maybe. I said, why? And he goes, well, he said, you know, he said, there's a lot of money in the alcohol business, and he said, so, possibly, he said, if you get your hands on the recipe, we could find a distillery to make it and a distributor in Georgia. He said, I'll help you kind of get started.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, neither here I want drink.
Yeah.
That's what I'm funny about. So I was like, well, yeah, this sounds fun. So we were sitting at the airport in Lubbock the next day, and he was getting ready to fly back to L.A., and I was flying back to Nashville. And I said, are you serious about that? And he said, yeah. So it was my mom's mom.
Oh, nice.
Over,
yeah,
in Young Harris, which is the next, yeah, county east.
Yeah.
And when I got to Nashville, I called my parents and my mom. I said, you know anything about Mimi's recipe, you know, moonshine recipes? And she's like, oh, you know, so I was the youngest one. She goes, said, he never let me around the stills or anything. And yeah, she said, but I do remember like going to the barn with him and my uncle and asking what that sour smell was down there. And you know, they said, oh, honey, that's, you know, to feed the hogs with, you know. And she said, you know, sometimes people come in all hours of the night buying liquor, yeah, and stuff. And the whole big story behind him and you know, he helped a lot of people, you know, back in the day. He's politicians. He, you know, gave money to churches. He gave money to people that, you know, maybe couldn't afford Christmas, yeah, or clothes or shoes or food or whatever.
Mm.
And he helped, you know, churches, driveways,
yeah,
and cemeteries up. But anyway, so I just kind of mentioned it to her, and she asked me why, and I said, well, it was, you know, just the idea. And she's like, yeah, I don't know, you know. My mom and never did drink a drop, or my dad didn't either. And so anyway, she wasn't too keen on the idea.
Right.
But
right.
Anyway, one thing led to another. And so we found a distributor, mm-hmm, put it out. And then we found a distillery there for a little while to make some of it for us, you know.
Yeah.
And so we actually put it out in, you know, a little bit in like 2013,
mm-hmm,
something like that.
Yeah.
You know, not much. But then we put a distillery, because all the laws were changing in Georgia and, as you, mm-hmm, know, all the other places. So we put the distillery here in 2016, and you know, did a few cases a month. And at that time, you could only sell it to the distributor and do tastings. Well, as it, mm-hmm, went along, the laws were changing,
mm-hmm,
and then it got to where we could like sell a bottle per person per day, and then,
okay,
it got to where we could sell 3 bottles per person per day out of the distillery, and,
right,
and now I think it's like, you know, 6 or something. So, you know, if you probably buy more than 6 bottles, you probably got problems. You know, but you're having a party or something. But and then we're distributed in 6 states now.
6 states.
Yeah.
Still. So it's Georgia.
We're in Georgia. We're in North Carolina. We're in Florida. We're in Kentucky, Illinois, and Arizona. We got Arizona,
man,
from the Outlaw Cruise.
Isn't that something?
Actually, yeah. And we got more states that's interested in it. We,
yeah,
want to, you know, we want to try to, you know, build a graduate, because you,
yeah,
don't want to get, because we do it in small batch.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we don't want to get too big for what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, and we do it all in the back. We do.
Yeah, it's all here. Yeah.
It's all here.
Yeah.
And So, you know, we, gosh, in 2023, I think we probably sold 17,000 cases, something like that.
Wow.
And so it's...
That's huge.
What was just a hobby, mm-hmm. it became a, you know, a full-blown business. Now I don't know which one's the hobby, if it's the music
yeah.
or the distillery, but no, it's doing very well, and we got a great staff of people. And,
yeah.
So I could be gone, and it can just run.
And it runs smooth, yeah. The venue, I mean, it's beautiful in here.
Yeah.
I love the everything that y'all have done.
Yeah.
The woodwork. This was an old.
This was when I was a little kid. This was it's called Goldfish. It's like a farmer's mutual exchange or whatever. And I guess it was probably like the 70s, 60s, or 70s. Tractor supply.
Oh yeah,
I could, like where we're sitting here, they used to have feed and fertilizer.
Oh no, yeah,
in here,
yeah,
and they would take it out that you could back up to that door.
Oh yeah,
the door was wider. Yeah. It may have even been like a garage door or something.
Yeah,
and you could load your truck right out there, and then but this is the original beams that was in here. The original floor that was in here, and this building right here was built in the 1940s.
Oh wow!
In the 40s, my dad said it was a. It used to be like a Cotton States Insurance building.
Or, oh really?
And then, the Goldfish was here for several years, and then someone else bought it and it turned into something else, and we got it. But yeah, it's we can put 100 people in here, and do music.
Oh yeah.
And like outside, we turn the loading dock into the stage, and we put about 1,200 people
out
there.
Yeah, that's been successful for y'all too, hasn't it?
Yeah, we do the every last weekend in July, which is hotter than hell, but we do the Mountain Music and Moonshine Festival,
mm-hmm.
and this coming up July, the third year. First year we had Keith Anderson.
Yeah.
Last year we had an Eagles tribute band called Seven Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
You may know they were great.
Oh,
thing about it come a tsunami through here.
I remember that.
And then,
yeah.
They didn't get to play, but they had their shows hadn't gotten rained out the previous three shows, and their tour manager was like,
oh,
we can come in inside and set up and play and do an acoustic thing. So they came in here, and it took everybody about an hour to move everything around.
Right.
They had all the drinks and everything outside.
Yeah.
And they sit around this stage here and play for about an hour, man.
Incredible.
You couldn't even walk from there with people. But and this year, July the 27th, I think it's the date, we're having Wade Hayes. He's the headliner.
Yeah.
So he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I got to know him some. So we're excited to have him.
Old enough to know better.
Yeah. And dang, a good guitar player.
He is a great guitar player.
And so we're excited to have him. And then we're opening up another location
mm-hmm.
over in Dawsonville, Georgia.
Yeah.
Probably in May.
Okay.
So we'll be able to have music over there, too.
And y'all been working on that.
We've been working on that about a year.
Yeah.
So that's all coming to be, and so we'll be opening that probably mid-May.
Oh, that's fun.
Over there. So it won't be near as big as this, but I think it'll do very well.
Oh, it will. It'll definitely do great over there.
But yeah, we got we got about 10 different moonshine flavors. We do a whiskey and a vodka and a sorghum rum, sorghum cane.
I've had it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had
it. It's a spiced rum, but it's just different.
I liked it.
Did you?
Oh, very much.
Yeah.
Let's see. I have had, I've done the vodka a few times.
Yeah.
I've done the whiskey.
Yeah.
And what, you have a flavored?
Yeah, peach whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
And I've had the, is it citrus or what?
Yeah, vodka. Citrus vodka.
Yeah, I've had that as well.
We have one like a raspberry guava. That's a different one.
I have not, but I did.
Yeah.
I tasted it. So
yeah.
It's real good.
But we got anything in the moonshine. We got everything from 140 proof down to 40 proof. So something for everybody. But it's done really well. And Blairsville and they've support us 110%.
Oh yeah, man.
So
what do you call it? Lice or certified agriculture?
Yeah. Through the Georgia grown thing, because we try to use all Georgia products.
Mm-hmm.
We use local corn. The sorghum cane. We get, we source it all locally.
Yeah, that's a big thing here in Blairsville.
Here, yeah. And so, yeah, we try to support everybody local and do all that we can.
That's even better.
And carry on our father's traditions of, you know, doing good for the community.
And y'all have tours at the distillery?
Yeah, we do tours and tastings.
Yeah.
And I think we do those on Fridays and Saturdays.
Okay.
We do tastings anytime, but the tour, distillery tours.
Right.
Fridays and Saturdays. I think you can go online to granddaddymemphis.com and sign up for that.
And you'll see that at this on the screen, the website, and all that good stuff. Now, to get in touch with the music side, is there a website for you, or do they go through the...
No, you can go through granddaddymemphis.com or tommytownsandmusic.com.
Okay.
You can get in touch with us there, and then all my social media, the Instagram, Facebook, and...
Really excited, Tommy, to taste test two samples of this.
Yeah, we'll get to Adam. Adam's over there behind the bar. We'll get him to get us a few, make us a cocktail. I tell you what, I like just a big spoon of moonshine on ice.
Oh, I did the sorghum rum, or the, not sorghum, is it sorghum rum?
Yeah.
Yeah, on ice.
Yeah, yeah.
That was good, too.
Yeah. So,
man, it's been such a great time hanging out.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Signature cocktails.
What are we drinking?
Today we got Mountain Mama here on my left hand.
Yeah.
We got Dirty Hillbilly on our right, two of our best sellers.
Yeah.
Dirty Hillbilly on our right, we're going to be having Blackberry Moonshine, Raspberry Guava Vodka, topping it off with Blackberry Cranberry Juice.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain Mama, pretty simple. We're doing pineapple juice as well as our Wild Cherry Cobbler Moonshine on top of it.
Do we want to do this as a taste test? Or we're just
bringing over a highlight of the tasting board as well.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and maybe a couple jars.
A couple jars?
Yeah. I didn't know y'all did the mixed, stuff like that.
You know, it's funny, anything mixed moonshine or vodka or getting mixed moonshine with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, that's, that's good. He didn't hold back.
No.
I love that. Oh, yeah, that's good.
I bet these strings haven't changed in a year. It still sounds good, doesn't it?
To me, it does. I love that guitar. I'm in awe of it.
You know, I played the brand new Gibsons.
Yeah.
And they don't have this. Uh-uh. I mean, it ain't nothing like this one. Yeah. Dad said he bought this guitar for $50 in 1953.
Wow. There's no telling what it would, what it's worth.
Well, about 10 years ago, I took it up to Joe Glacier. You know Joe, or know of him. He does works on
it. Yeah, he works on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they refretted it, and some of the bracing was coming unglued, and then they put me a pickup in it, and Hunter, the guy that does all of his acoustic work, said it'll pure sale hurt the value of it, and I thought I never said
right, you know, right.
It's going to always be in the family.
Yeah.
So he put me a pickup in it, and did all that.
There's pickup in it.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. If I had,
do you play? You play that out loud? Do you take it? Okay. I didn't think. I figured you did.
I mean, I might bring it down here.
Right. Right. Yeah.
No. I'll take it out.
Okay. I didn't know there's pickup in it until you said that. That's cool.
Yeah. He said about 2 years ago. He said it's probably worth $7,000-$8,000.
You know. Goodness.
But yeah. Those strangers. Old as they can be. Feel the grit on them. You're welcome, Black.
Let me touch this thing.
Yeah.
This is, golly.
You're going through a highlight of pretty much everything. Oh, got a little spillage going on. Normally these come with 8, but we went ahead and did 10 for
y'all.
Because we just got so many highlights, but I also got it all mapped out here for you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we're going to start out. 1 through 3 is going to be all of our shines. That's our base for everything. We got 140, 100, and our barrel age.
Yeah.
Pretty proud of that product. And then we're going to go through. We're going to hit our Peach 96. We're going to hit the Raspberry Guava, which is going to be in that Burning Hillbilly you're enjoying right now. We got our Apple Brown Betty, probably one of our original bestsellers. Both of the Georgia Creams, which we can't seem to keep up back here, these out these front doors.
Where do people, where do the, for coffees and stuff, is that the, yeah, so the main thing?
You put in your coffee, a lot of people will enjoy it over the rocks, kind of just meat. People that bake with it too. We have a guy who comes in, he'll make waffles with it.
Okay.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
People put it over their ice cream, funny enough, so you can put it really anything you enjoy cream.
Okay. Okay, that's cool.
And then last two, wanted to make sure you got some dark spirits for you too. We got our peach whiskey, and we have our sorghum rum.
Okay. Nice.
There you go.
Enjoy, y'all. And did you guys want to get you a couple jars too?
Yeah, just throw them.
Okay. So one is the mule kicking.
Yeah.
Is that how it would.
That's 140 okay. proof. That's. Yeah.
And do the customers get to see this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Matt, get a shot of this. And so when you come to Granddaddy Mims, you will see, like if you do the taste testing, it's got it on there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you get it? Vodka, whiskey, and rum. So
yeah.
First one is Mule Kicking 140
proof. 140 proof. Yeah, this is the, I think it's the highest one out there. And it's... there's a guy here, you may know Brock Kelly.
Yeah.
He said it makes you take back stuff you never did, Steve.
Now, I see him at the fairgrounds a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big country music fan.
Oh, yeah, he's a big country music fan. But, yeah, y'all want to try? Okay, this is the one. This right, Adam, this, the next one's the 100?
Yep, the next one should be 100.
So these two right here are actually the original recipes. When my grandfather made it, you know, and the family.
Yeah.
It was around 100 proof somewhere. So, you know, of course, being with the federal government, you got to keep it at one proof all the time. So, but the reason we did 140 was it's people's perception of moonshine. They think it was off the chain strong. When it was really, you know, old bootleggers around in the mountains, it was around 100 proof. But the 140, we just catch it out of the still and don't cut it as much. We cut everything with spring water from my parents' farm.
That's
another.
See, that's even thing. Cooler.
You know,
did you get all that, Matt?
Yeah,
down there.
So we haul the water in and cut it with it, and but yeah, this is the 140 proof. That's the original recipe as well, and this is 100 proof. But yeah.
Well, did you own the this one?
No. You go right ahead. You got cheers.
Cheers.
But, you know, anything you mix
vodka I like
with,
it.
Or tequila with, you know, you can mix.
You can do that.
I mean, we got this, yours is a dirty hillbilly.
Yep.
And this is a something. But we got 30 or 40 drinks that we do.
And that is cool because they do little mixed drinks.
Yeah.
I like the, I love the real stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love
but the you can tell that's real. Yeah. You know, real moonshine, when you drink it, it'll just kind of gradually warm
mm-hmm.
you
hit your belly. I love it. I love it.
And if you kind of get that harshness on the back of your palate, you know, it's about made.
Yeah.
Just right.
Yeah. This, but, that's awesome.
Yeah. So what else we got here?
Number 3 is the Barrel Age Shine, 109 proof, and 4... Or is it 5? Oh, no, that's 4.
Yeah.
Okay, and then that one is Raspberry Guava, right?
Yeah, I've had that one. So you want that one?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, take some of that barrel aged, because this is the story with the barrel aged moonshine. When my grandfather and stuff, when they had extra liquor, they had put it in some oak barrels and aged it for a while. And they instead of charred, they called it chartered for some reason. That's what my cousin told me that they would call it. And... So a few years ago, we started having extra liquor, and so we put it in bourbon barrels, used bourbon barrels, and in the middle room there is a barrel room. We got, how many, 84 barrels in there now?
Golly.
And so we've released a few.
And actually, you can get it at Hiwassee Beverage up there.
Yeah.
They said they bought a whole barrel a few months ago.
Did they really?
We bought a whole barrel. We bottled it for them, and some other liquor stores did too. But yeah, I want you to do that one because I
okay.
it. But that one to me is really good.
All right. Here it is, the Barrel Aged Shine 109.
Yeah, we put it in the barrel about 120 proof, and it comes out around 109. Do you get the bourbon notes?
I do.
You know, the oaky flavor and the caramely kind
of. I taste that. Yeah. Now,
back in.
Is there any truth to when you're taste testing to when you take the shot to
exhale
and you
Yeah. That makes the burn.
That's what I've been.
So, I mean, you can have the raspberry guava one too.
And that's okay. So this is raspberry guava.
I think so. Number four.
No. Oh, peach.
Oh, 96. Peach. Oh, yeah. That's my favorite one right there.
Or do you want that one?
No. Go. You go right ahead. I've tried them all.
I bet. Yeah. Oh, all right. This is the.
I'll sip on this brand.
Peach. Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet.
96 proof. And what we kind of, you know, do is set ourselves apart.
Man, that's a high, that's a
is, you know, is large make it high proof, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another one of my grandfather's recipes, the peach. So, you know.
Yeah, that's rare that you see the flavor that's there in the 90s.
Yeah, that's right, And you know you get the burn, and you get the little bit of flavor. You know, back you know when old timers made moonshine, of course they didn't really make it for taste, you know. But they get peaches or apples or whatever, and you wouldn't you didn't get a big peach flavor or a fruit flavor.
Right.
You kind of got it on the back end a little bit, but you didn't just wouldn't overflow.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what we we did.
I feel like that would be good on ice.
Oh, it is. That's my favorite thing. Just
just
on ice. Just put that on ice, and it's great.
Mm.
But we got what we got?
Raspberry guava.
Oh, yeah, that's raspberry. Try that one. That's good.
And this is right here.
Yeah.
I love these little boards y'all got.
Yeah, well, the guy was actually just in here that made these.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was sitting back there, and he and his wife made them from staves, barrel staves. Yeah. So when you come here to the distillery, if you want to do a tasting, you get you pick 8 flavors, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's like all equal to a shot, I think. So we're not going to get you drunk.
Yeah. Oh, here it is, raspberry guava. Oh, I like that. I love raspberry.
That's a different flavor too,
That's the vodka.
The vodka that we do, and we did that for a Florida distributor. They want us to come up with something different, and and now in Florida we're in every Walmart store that sells liquor.
See, that's incredible.
It's 150-160 stores, Walmart stores that have liquor stores.
Oh man,
every one of those from Miami to the Georgia line.
That's actually really cool because our we have a lot of listeners out of Florida.
Oh yeah,
We get our stats each month, and it shows the top 20 states, and Florida's always consistent in the top 5. So,
oh good.
Oh yeah, good. That's cool.
And then number 6, we got
apple brown Betty.
Now this the story behind this. This is kind of like our version of apple pie.
Okay.
But apple brown Betty was my grandmother, which was a great cook. She made this apple brown Betty recipe every Christmas.
Oh,
I remember calling it my little apple Freddy, it was fried apples with cinnamon and sugar, a whole stick of butter, and fried crust on it.
Mm.
She'd make that every Christmas, and so we took her recipe and added the liquor to it, and came up with this.
That's a great story.
So every flavor that we have has a story.
I love that.
you know. So,
like, and it's a family, like, you have, it's a personal story.
Yeah, it is. It's not something that you just came up with, you know. So,
see, that's that, to me, that makes granddaddy stand out too.
Exactly. You know, people are like, well, why don't you do this recipe, or why don't you do that recipe, or why don't you make this flavor? And it's like, no, I won't only say true to what my family did and mm-hmm. what it's all about. So, you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, try that. That's a mild in there.
Yeah, this is Apple Brown Betty.
Put that on a biscuit.
I mean, from what Adam was saying, you know, the ice cream thing. I think I'm going to try that cream and ice cream.
I'll let you try all these, because, like I say, I'll just stick my drink. I'll let you try all these.
Mm. Well, I can tell there's... That's dangerous.
Oh, yeah. That is dangerous.
That's just, that goes down just so smoothly.
Let's see what we got.
Number 7 is the cream.
Georgia pecan roll. Yeah, this one is my granny Sue used to make pecan pies, you know, and all that. So.
Is that your dad's mom?
No, my mom's mom.
Okay, okay. So,
yeah. So she made pecan cream. And then, too, you know, remember the Stuckey's?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, they used to have the pecan log roll.
There's one on the way to.
Yeah. They're coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, you know, maybe sort of patterned after that. And then my granny Sue's pecan pies.
Oh. So. Were they, you can still taste them? In your mind, yeah.
Try that one, you know.
All right.
We made this a cream. And,
Oh, man.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. That's, and Adam, who works here, was talking about the like coffee.
Yeah.
See, I've done tastings for years, but I've never bought the cream because I've just always been like, I just want the moonshine, you know.
Yeah.
But I've never, now I'm getting a little sold on it thinking about the cream. That's cool. But
now, this one right here, number 8, this is called the Night Owl.
Okay.
And this is kind of our thing, but this was, this is the one of the biggest selling mixed drinks here at the distillery.
Ah.
So people got to ask us, man, why don't y'all bottle it? And so we did. It's kind of a caramel macchiato type thing. And so we started bottling it back in November of 2023, and it's become one of the biggest sellers.
That is crazy.
It's like a 35 proof, you know, like a Bailey's or something like that. So yeah, try that and see what you think. I have to drive Britt home.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
That one's taking over the place.
Now that would go good with coffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard people say that they put it in their coffee.
Do you have a process of final approval? Like, you know, do you to get it just right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't taste every batch, you know.
Right. But the flavors that, you know, that before the recipe starts getting in production.
Yeah. We play with it and toy around with it. Like the cream, you know, you buy that.
Right.
You know, it comes in a box, a bag, like, you know, the wine boxes. Except it comes in like 250-gallon wine box. And it already has alcohol in it. So, but what we do is we'll proof down our moonshine to the proof that's in there, like a 35 proof.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has our own
taste
to it. It's not just generic alcohol.
Yeah.
And then the flavors that we use is all natural flavors. There's no artificial nothing in any of this. I mean, it's gluten-free, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I love that you're telling all that. It's all natural flavors. Yeah. It's gluten-free.
Yeah. And if you're allergic to gluten, you try it. And have a problem with it, but
oh, that's cool.
The Night Owl is just becoming one of the
That is delicious.
And you can get, like I say, all the liquor stores in Georgia and Florida, Kentucky, and we've just now got in North Carolina, so we're getting working that stuff.
I've seen you at the one in Murphy,
North Carolina. Then what we got here, number 9 is what?
Peach Whiskey 85 proof.
Oh, yeah,
all right, because y'all, it's more than moonshine, y'all, they do vodka and whiskey and rum,
And that's a young whiskey. We have a 5-year age whiskey, but that's a young whiskey that we put our natural juices in.
That's delicious. Yeah. I
like that one over ice too.
I'll say I'm a whiskey fan, and I love that.
Yeah.
Mm, that's good.
And then last but not least was the rum. And you've had
sorghum rum. I have. Bought a whole bottle of it.
Yeah.
I keep all my bottles too. My bottle of, and Matt's seen it, you know, I have it out there by my fire.
Yeah.
I have the sorghum rum.
Yeah.
Sorghum, while I'm doing this, why is Blairsville, it's known for the sorghum festival and sorghum. Yeah. It's a huge thing. Some people might be like, what is sorghum?
Yeah. It's like sugar cane,
yep.
Except it, you know, of course, you know, the climate here is not warm enough for sugar cane to grow. So it's sorghum cane. You know, sorghum is like, I guess it's like, you know, northern Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, you know, on up to in the south.
Yeah.
You know? But it's a little bit different. The cane, it's a different taste than sugar cane, you know. And what they do is they grind it up and they do sorghum milk around here, and it turns it into like a molasses.
You're right. Yeah.
Thing, and so we take the sorghum, the molasses, and ferment it. And you know, the rum is different. It's not a mash. It's called a wash.
Okay.
So what we do is we take the sorghum and the spring water and you know these enzymes and nutrients and everything and make a wash out of it and distill it. So
that's awesome.
And what's so funny with the when you distill that, it really comes out high proof. I mean, like 180, 190, like when
it's
running out, and it'll hold the proof for a long time.
Oh,
before it drops off.
Yeah,
yeah. So you know, it's clear. But
and this is the sorghum rum is 92 proof.
Yeah, it's 92 proof. So. You know, we're proud of our
flavor. I am too, you know? Because we talk about that when we go looking at expensive whiskeys and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, you know, that's there. I'm seeing it with my own eyes.
Yeah,
y'all are ahead of the game.
Yeah.
With that. That's awesome.
Like I say, you know, when everybody's turning right, we try to turn left. You know, and
I love that.
Yeah,
it's got
a distinctive flavor to it, and the story behind that is during the war, World War II, my grandfather would go to Hughes's sorghum mill in Young Harris when you couldn't get sugar, but sugar was rationed.
Oh,
at that time, so. You know, the story is that a lot of people that had the sugar stamps were selling the sugar stamps to bootleggers so they could get the sugar to make the mash, and they were getting caught. Well, my grandfather went to Hughes' sorghum mill and decided, well, I'll fly under the radar, and I'll just get sorghum syrup to sweeten the mash. And so he would make moonshine out of sorghum, you know, syrup, but we took it a step further and just made a rum. That, you know, there's a story behind that.
Now, too. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool that he, it's almost like he was a pioneer in that.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of.
And I, you know, I'm sure in other areas of the country that they did that too, you know, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, Tommy, this, I have so enjoyed getting to know the story behind the distillery and behind you. And speaking of behind you, I wanted everyone to see this picture of tell us who all three are in this in the big
that
picture.
That was Jerry Bridges and myself.
Can you get that, Matt?
I was about 21 years old there when they first started working. So
man,
that was then, you know.
I can't imagine what the legend is saying.
I can actually remember what the story was with that. We were cutting a song called How High the Tree Will Grow. And I was trying to do the vocal on it and I wasn't getting it like I should.
Yeah.
And so Waylon was telling me how to approach it, the song.
Mm.
And that's the lyric sheet right there that Jerry's holding. And so
that sent chills over me.
Yeah,
I am.
But he was telling me how to approach the song to sing it.
That's you know. Wow. That does that sends chills over me. Tommy, I am a country music nerd.
Well, me too. Yeah.
And I just to know, just to see that expression on his face, and you saying,
yeah,
what he was telling you. You know?
Golly.
Yeah.
Did you ever? I mean, I'm sure you did. But it was I know back then everything's moving so fast. Uh-huh. But did you ever just lay in bed not thinking, damn?
You know what was so funny is I didn't know, this is not the first time I had met him here.
Oh wow! I hadn't even seen that one.
Yeah, that one.
And, check that one out too, Matt.
So, you know, I'd known him and the band and Jigger and everybody for a few years, you know, before we started recording. So when going in the studio, to me, I wasn't nervous,
right,
or anything. Yeah. I had been around him a lot, and so you know, I just take it all in. I tell you, when I realized that you know what it was my daughter Megan.
Uh-huh.
Runs in the story.
Oh,
yeah.
And, is she here?
She knows she's not. She just left a few minutes
ago. Oh, man.
And so her and Miley Cyrus grew up together. We lived out there.
Oh, yeah, right. And
so we were at a school function one night. Me and Billy Ray were sitting up on the bleachers in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking and stuff. And
is this Franklin area?
Yeah. Thompson Station.
Yeah.
And so... we're sitting up there, and it was like a little dance or something. Billy Ray and I was sitting there talking. He and I had been friends for a long time. And he goes, man, that must have been, because this was just like right after Waylon passed.
Mm.
And he said, man, it must have been really cool to get to know Waylon and do it like you did.
He loved Waylon.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he was always a big fan. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember Carl P. Mayfield they had Waylon Wednesdays on there, and Waylon would go on there and rant and rave about things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a one-time thing that Waylon was going to be on there.
Was that a radio show?
Yeah. It was Waylon Wednesdays, so they started having to come on every Wednesday.
And he would just come, he needed to come on.
Bitch and moan. And
that's hilarious.
Anyway, so him and Billy Ray got to be friends and stuff, so actually, when Billy Ray and I were talking that night after he had passed away, it's like that kind of when it hit me. It's like, wow, man. I mean, you know, Wayne was as big as it got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he had all this, you know, persona of everybody thought, oh, is he just mean guy?
Yeah, yeah.
And that wasn't him at all. You know, he's just nice guy you'd ever be around.
Mm. That's special, Tommy. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's teenagers that are Waylon fans.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're it's just a all the Outlaws.
Yeah.
You know, but there's young people that listen to Waylon.
Oh yeah, it's funny, you know, like say when we were, you know, playing with Shooter all the time, there was kids from, you know, 20 years old up to the people 75, you know.
Yeah.
80 years old that come to shows, that wide range of, you know, those, the older people knew him, their kids and grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
Grew up.
Yeah.
You know, listening to him. So
it's a cool thing.
It is a cool thing. And then right back over there behind you, that one picture up there, that's actually
right there.
That's actually Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic.
And you went to that?
Yeah.
Get that, man.
That's when I met Jerry Bridges.
Oh, that day?
That day, yeah. And then the one next to it over here, which is the other one. That one over there, that's actually probably the last show that we played before the pandemic, and that's in Mesa, Arizona.
Mm.
And that's part of the Mesa, the Phoenix Hills Angels chapel that came to see us.
Yeah. And is that when kind of this was that part of the, you know, Arizona being a part of Granddaddy's?
No, that was actually before that. Actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's about around that time.
Wow. Oh, man, this is the record.
That's the record. You can help.
Oh, look at that. And it's vinyl, man. Waylon Jennings introduction. I have a record player. I'm a, I collect records.
Yeah. My wife got me a record player a few years ago, and it's not one of the old console record players.
Yeah.
The big old knobs. And I said, yeah, that was the biggest thing going around in the 70s, you know. And it still, it sounds good. But actually, this album cover, the label actually was looking at our distillery, and they said, man, can we come down there and shoot your album cover?
Oh, for real?
Yeah. So that is actually sitting right here.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I see it.
Yeah. On the right here.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, and just looking
on
at
the table right here.
Looking at the tattoo.
Yeah.
I wonder what Wayne would think, knowing that so many people have went for that symbol. Oh, you know, that's cool to me.
Oh yeah, and Jigger told me, or somebody told me, that at one time his logo was bigger than the RCA Victor.
Oh wow!
And it's still, I mean. Somebody saw that here. I don't know. It's been a year or so ago. Said, so you got the Wonder Woman tattoo? I said, no. But it's funny. We played City Winery. I guess it was back in Nashville.
Right? Oh yeah, that's a cool venue. Man.
And so we all went and got tattooed, Flying W tattoos. So that was pretty cool.
That's the symbol, man. Yeah. And the hats. It's just crazy because I still see that on so many people.
Oh, yeah, yes. It didn't hurt a bit.
I love it. I love it, man.
But yeah, that was made here. And then on the back is that was made in our barrel room, which is in the middle room back here.
Oh, look at that guitar.
Yeah.
Golly. Yeah,
that's one of the guitars. And Terry Langford made those guitars. Well, the one that Waylon played there, you know, in probably the 70s and part of the 80s.
Yeah.
I think I'm telling this right, so I'm not somebody can somebody can correct me, but Richie Albright, Waylon's bought Waylon the guitar, a 53 Telecaster, $40, and the guy that was working at the venue where Waylon was playing out in Phoenix that made paddles and chaps and all that, and I think he was a janitor at that club, and he made that leather cover for Waylon. I think Richie said they paid him $45 to do the cover.
What?
On the guitar.
Wow.
And then Terry Langford in Franklin, Tennessee made the later ones. Terry made the one that's on the Dukes of Hazzard. He made that one, and then he made he made like six or eight of them, you know, way and play. So,
man,
but yeah,
that's awesome, Tommy. I love the cover.
That's a '67 Telecaster.
That's beautiful. Yeah. You ever play it still?
Oh yeah, yeah. I take it on the road.
Okay,
I play with the Waylon band.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I take it with me.
And that man, that guitar strap. I'm telling you.
One time, we played the Alaska State Fair.
Oh, wow.
And so we had to fly from Nashville to Memphis, from Memphis like Seattle, and Seattle and up to Anchorage. So, but, you know, Nashville's always good to let musicians take their guitars on and take, you know, take some
mm-hmm.
So I always, you know, put that in a first-class closet, you know.
Oh, man.
Or whatever. So, but we had got, I remember that this particular flight, we had got to Memphis and was getting ready to fly to Anchorage or Seattle, and the guy at the gate, when we were going down the jetway, said you're going to have to check that guitar. Said the flight is full. Said, so there's nowhere to put it.
Ooh, I wouldn't have said.
Well, I said, well, you know, usually I put it in the first class closet or the, you know, the flight attendant's closet, something. And so then zipped it and showed him what it was. And he said, oh my gosh. He goes, Waylon used to fly through here all the time. It was so nice.
He remembered
it and knew about the guitar. And he goes, this guitar will get on the plane before passing.
Wow.
So
that's a cool
story. They took the guitar, and a flight attendant got it. It rode in the cockpit with the pilots. And when we got off in Seattle, the pilot handed me the case, and he goes, oh, wow. Nice guitar, man. So I guess they might have been other playing it. I don't know. But that's kind of a cool story.
That is great.
You know, but
man.
It was kind of cool that they handed it to me in Seattle.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Tommy, thank you so much.
Man,
this has been has been a really great time.
Yeah, I'm glad you came.
I'm glad.
I had fun too.
I love hearing your story of music
We're in just I do, man. I love hearing about you. I mean, I've heard about you a lot, but now that I've actually got to hang out with you and know your story, I think it's just it's awesome.
Well, so you know, just trying to make it through.
Well, I appreciate it, and we'll see y'all next time. That's Tommy Townsend. Be sure you check out all the links and go listen to his music, buy his music.
Thanks for having me.
All right, I'll see you soon.
You bet.
It really breaks my heart to see a dear old friend go down in that worn-out place again. Do you know the sound of a closing door? Have you heard that sound somewhere before? Do you wonder if she knows you anymore? I wrapped your love around me like a chain, but I never was afraid that it would die. You can dance in a hurricane, but only if you're standing in the eye. Where did you learn to walk? Where did you learn to run away from everything you love? Did you think the bottle would ever ease your pain? Did you think that love's a foolish game? Did you find someone else to take the blame? I wrapped your love around me like a chain, but I never was afraid that it would die. Well, you can dance in a hurricane, but only if you're standing in the eye. You can dance in a hurricane, but only if you're standing in the eye. I am a sturdy soul, and there ain't no shame in lying down in the bed you made. Can you fight urge to run for the day? Yeah. You might make it further if you learn to stay.